Test, is this on?
Very good. Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order. It's 11 o'clock, and we're here at the Orange County Human Relations Commission meeting. I'm Lauren Johnson Norris, your chair, and we do have a quorum this morning. I'm glad to see everybody who's here here. To get started, I'm going to ask Rabbi Steinberg if he would share an opening quote or reflection with us. And I know I asked you on the fly, but I'm grateful for you doing it.
No, no. Good morning, everybody. The Bible begins in chapter one saying that humanity is created in God's image. And so I always ask people, what do they think God's image really means? And there's words of love, kindness, compassion. You can define it all yourself. And I love the idea that each person looking at another human being ought to be able to see the godly image in which they're created. And if you don't believe in God, imagine as if that person were God. It doesn't really matter, but you know, it goes with love your neighbor as yourself, do unto others. All those are the same because you want to see the reflection of something special, unique, and ultimately holy in every human being. And I think our work here on the commission is to reduce the barriers, which I would call the hate, that prevent people from seeing the goodness in each other. And so I really, that's such a guiding principle for me, even with people whom I disagree or, you know, have strife with. I try to see that which is special or unique in them, because I hope that they'll do that with me as well, even when we don't align on everything.
Thank you so much. Monthly summary of commission activities. Anyone have any to share at this point? No? Okay, then we're going to move on to open forum. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on any matter within the jurisdiction of the commission. We may limit the length of time to address the commission. Do we have any public speakers at this time?
Yes, we have three online.
All right. Why don't we?
Oh, only one. Excuse me.
Why don't we go ahead and hear from that speaker?
Yes, thank you. I have a couple points. My name is Eric Nashanian, Irvine, business owner. First, I'd like to address Ada Briseño. Ada Briseño is a Cyprus resident. The commission's website purports that Katrina Foley represented, appointed her to the chair, to the commission, which means that Ms. Foley has two appointees, both Chair Lauren Johnson Norris and Ms. Briseño. Ms. Briseño is actually representing Sarmiento's district, but Sarmiento didn't appoint her, and her presence on the commission is contrary to the commission's bylaws. With regard to the agenda and the memorandum attached to it by Jessica Witt, it contains a falsehood. Chief Kent did not offer to gather data, did not offer IPD to gather data on March 27th. He did it at an open meeting on May 8th, 2025. The OC grand jury report does not mention the ADL No Place for Hate dust up in Massachusetts in 2007 over the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League's history of genocide denial, where multiple municipalities seized the No Place for Hate program, and it caused the ADL to finally admit that the Turks committed genocide after decades of lobbying against the formal genocide recognition on behalf of Turkey and Israel. Not only does the Anti-Defamation League have a history of genocide denial, they also have a history of spying on U.S. citizens and defaming U.S. citizens. And the commission should not collaborate or information share with the Anti-Defamation League. In fact, the commission has had an ADL member on it for some time in the person of Rabbi Richard Steinberg, whose brother also happens to be a major political person up in Sacramento, the mayor, also an assembly member. The rabbi as chair of this commission already defined hate crimes and hate incidents for the commission purposes in 2018. That was apparently a failure as the reporting numbers were off, or the commission inflated the numbers with data provided by NGOs like the Anti-Defamation League. The Anti-Defamation League is a pro-Israel lobbying organization. Members of any lobbying organization should not be on this commission as it casts the appearance of the commission being politicized. For instance, you have the vice chair of a political party as this body's chair. The former chair of that party, a union leader, is on this body representing Sarmiento's district when she lives in Cyprus, and a member of the Anti-Defamation League. It's no wonder this commission spiraled to a halt and continues to spiraling under the county's CEO's oversight. Like Ada Briseño, Rabbi Steinberg should no longer be permitted to serve as a commissioner. Finally, Chief Kent was a witness to a hate incident on February 2nd, 2022, an Irvine City Council meeting, when the mayor insulted me, name-calling me and identifying me as an Islamophobe when I directly linked her to Turkish national genocide deniers. But somehow, it wasn't a topic of discussion by the commission. For your information, the genocide deniers are thriving in Orange County, and this commission is silent and has been for years. They'll be hanging Ataturk in William R. Mason Park this September. August.
Is up, sir?
Your time is up. Thank you. Our next item is, and that was the only speaker?
Yes, that was the only speaker.
Okay. The next item is hearing speakers' presentations, not seeing any. On the agenda, we'll move to action items, items 4 through 5. Action item 4, conduct election for commission vice chair for remainder of the 2025 calendar year. This was continued from May 5th, 2025 meeting. I'd like to see if there's any nominations for vice chair at this time. Self-nominations are also welcome and encouraged.
I'd like to nominate Joanne if she's willing to accept.
And this is just for the remainder of the year?
Correct.
Vice chair.
I'll second
accept the nomination.
Wonderful. We have a first and a second and an acceptance of the nomination. I'd like to call a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
And the ayes have it. Congratulations. And I look forward to working with you, Joanne. Thank you so much for serving. Action item 5, adopt California Department of Justice definition of hate incidences for 2025 Orange County Hate Crime Report. Direct staff to work with City of Irvine and District Attorney's Office to standardize methodology for collection and reporting of hate incident data, review, including data from 2024, and report progress at November 13, 2025 meeting. Is there any report or information to supplement the action item?
I can provide a brief overview of this.
Thank you.
Remember, the commission created an ad hoc to look at the not only the definition, but the methodology for the collection of hate incident data. This was something that actually had been discussed at the Board of Supervisors as well. And so the ad hoc met, and we had, due to some scheduling conflicts, we, based on some of the information that was provided, we went ahead to keep things moving and made a recommendation here today to adopt the California Department of Justice definition of hate incidents, as well as the subsequent recommend, and this would be for the 2025 report. And if you'll recall, since the Department of Justice also reports the data in arrears, the report the 2025 report will not come out until the end of the year 2026. So this would be looking at starting that data collection for next year. However, there's also an additional recommended action to look to see if there's the possibility of gathering that data for 2024 that could be reported at a subsequent. It probably wouldn't be able to be reported in December of this year, but it could be an addendum to a future report. So we're going to take a look at that as well if the item is approved today. And then also looking at, we had the Chief Kent had volunteered some staff at the City of Irvine to help with gather and review those heat incidents to help with that consistency and look at ways to avoid potential duplication. And then asking also that be done in conjunction with the District Attorney's Office as well. And we've spoken with them and they are willing to assist in that effort. So we appreciate that as well, that support as well. And then finally, the final recommended action is to have us report back on progress as to where we're at the November 13th commission meeting, which is the next meeting. With that, I'm happy to help answer any questions. Yes, Rabbi.
No question. Thank you. That's great. So does this mean that we get the information from the Department of Justice, or we collect the data from our police departments. We overlay the definition of the DOJ on it, and then we see if it meets that criteria, and then that counts as an hate incident.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we're collecting the data directly. We're not taking it from...
Right, because currently we don't have that data source. The report out from the Department of Justice is just on hate crimes, not hate incidents.
Gotcha.
So the
idea, just using the definition.
Just using their definition for consistency statewide.
And so should we also then recommend that we send this to all police departments to try and use their... When a police officer goes out, how to report it accurately, depending on that definition?
Well, and that is one of the things is that when we brought back some of the research that Kristen and her team did on the definition, some cities have a little bit of a nuance to it. So the lens through which the Irvine PD staff person and the district attorney's office would be looking at it through would be the lens of this definition. But I see Susie has a comment, so she can
please.
Susie Kaisner's office.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Good morning, commissioners. Yes, I came today to provide some information to all of you about our Department of Justice hate crimes grant that we're administering at the district attorney's office. We obtained that grant in 2024. It's going to run until through 2027. As a result of the recent grand jury report, we will be transmitting a letter to the Board of Supervisors today highlighting what we believe our role in that and the recommendations and finding would be. We have had an opportunity to work with our collaborative partners between when the report and today. So I wanted to update you on one of those big pieces is data collection on hate incidents. So our grant, and I think we're going to be doing a more detailed presentation for you at some future date, but just for an overview, our grant is has three components to it. The first is law enforcement education. And so we have obtained the first multi-day post-certified training curriculum. It's been approved for hate crimes in the state of California. That's the police officer standard and training as our certification entity for our law enforcement agencies. They've approved a multi-day training that our office is going to be administering. And the training involves a restorative justice component, which will have a victim impact panel for law enforcement. And our DA who will be handling that is DA Courtney Glazier Mapfuma, who I think is stepping out to take the call. And so we have, that's a law enforcement component, and that will ensure consistent training throughout the county and really through the region. The second component is actual prosecution of crimes, which we've already been doing. The district attorney started a hate crimes unit years ago before we got the grant, and we're going to continue doing prosecutions. The third and most exciting part of the grant, in my opinion, is that we are going to be conveners of education and outreach to community members on what a hate crime is, what a hate incident is, and also bridging that gap between law enforcement and the community in terms of reporting and safe reporting. So in that regards, our grant includes funding for a neutral facilitator. Again, it will not be the district attorney's office who's setting the curriculum or the agenda items, but we will hire a neutral facilitator. We're open to suggestions from any of the commissioners. We've also told the board we're open to their suggestions on a facilitator. We're looking to an organization like CCEJ in Long Beach or the LGBTQ community center here to be our facilitators. We would actually pay them to facilitate community meetings for us to ensure that everyone is at the table and can be heard. So that component is there. In regards to the data collection component, we've been talking with the Sheriff's Department, because one of the grand jury recommendations was specific to the Sheriff's Department in terms of creation of a portal. And in preparation for that work, our office has the capacity to receive information regarding hate crimes and hate incidents and to be able to track that data. There is no entity in the state of California that is legally assigned the responsibility of determining what a crime is versus an incident other than district attorney's offices. And that's because we are led by state law, criminal cases, but also the judicial council's criminal jury instructions. So for every crime, there are elements. They're kind of like ingredients to a recipe. And before we make a determination as to whether a crime has been committed, we will look at the elements of that crime to determine whether or not there was a hate crime or a hate incident. I'll give you a very easy example. I'm a woman of Middle Eastern descent. If I'm at the gas station and someone gets out of their car and says to me, "I don't like you, you look like a terrorist," that is a hate incident. If that person comes up to me and punches me in the face and says, "I don't like you because you're a terrorist," that is a hate crime. And so our office will determine what is a hate crime and what is a hate incident. The grand jury report, not specifically the grand jury report, but there's a lot of talk out there about the fact that there are some agencies tracking hate incidents. That is incorrect. There is no consistent tracking of that information in the state of California. Even the California versus Hate Initiative does not track hate incidents versus hate crimes. Chrislyn and I had an opportunity to have a phone call with them last week or 2 weeks ago to find out what it is they are collecting. The scenario, the hypothetical I gave you, both of those would be counted as the same type of event. They're not tracking hate incidents or making that determination. So that data, whatever value it has, is not following any sort of definition, legal definition. So we hope that with working with our collaborative partners at the Sheriff's Department, we will be able to create a portal. The first thing we would like to do is create a form that can be a countywide form that can be accessible through a QR code where crimes or incidents can be reported. That form would then feed into a portal at the DA's office that would be maintained by our research team. Our DA, DDA Glazier Mepfumo, would then review each case and determine whether it's a hate crime or a hate incident. But more importantly, our contract Waymakers, which is a victim advocacy entity that contracts with the county in our office, has trauma-informed counselors and advocates would reach out to whoever it was that reported, assuming they did not seek anonymity, and offer them resources and services. And then if they wanted to report it to a police agency, our victim advocate would offer to connect them and join them on the call, whatever there might be any barriers. We will have language access. It'll be interpreted in hundreds of languages, as well our community forums. So we are hoping to partner with the Sheriff's Department. And then I created our DUI drug program in this county about 12 years ago. And at that time, our office took over the Traffic Safety Resource Prosecution Program for the state of California. One of the first things we did was create a uniform DUI investigation form for all police agencies that's created by our office. I envision we could do something similar so that the reporting form that's sent out by the agencies, it would all have that same QR code. Everybody could use that same reporting form. So we're getting the same information. We will work with our partners in the Sheriff's Department to create that form, and we'll be able to create a portal. It will take us a little bit of time to do it, but we have the infrastructure and the funding in place through the grant to be able to do it. Of course, working in collaboration with the CEO's office to make sure that their reporting is as accurate as it can be based on the data we're tracking. So that's that aspect, but we have lots of other aspects of the grant. We will be working with the Department of Education, which was addressed in the grand jury report, and we will also be working with the county for the community listening sessions. And I can elaborate on any of that further.
I had a question. So what are the next steps? I know the letter will go to the supervisors today. What will the next steps be with regard, assuming that they say, yes, let's move forward with this. What does that look like for the county?
I think once they, and we'll see what the discussion is, the board will be considering this on Tuesday. And the DA's office will be doing this either way because this is part of their grant. So that will be taking place. But my thought is that because they have that unique expertise that then we would be able to, of course, use that data in our reports because as Susie mentioned, it will be the most comprehensive information that we have on hate incidents.
Will that still necessitate the Irvine PD's role that we had discussed, or do they work together, or is that no longer needed?
If folks are comfortable, I think we can leave that as part of the recommended action. And then if it's no, if they're, you know, I think that was a very generous offer from Chief Kent. However, if that role is no longer needed because the grant funding and the work of the district attorney's office in conjunction with the sheriff's department can handle that, then there may not be need to be that in-kind role from the city of Irvine.
I have a couple.
Rabbi Steinberg,
yeah,
please.
First of all, I just want to say thank you to a few people. First, Chris Lynn Furze worked so hard on this and really dedicated a lot of time to it. So thank you for your hard work. Just want to double down on my thank you to the DA and to the DA's office. Like one of the most exciting reports I've heard in my 15 years on the commission, because it's just streamlining the police department, the sheriff department, the district attorney, and the county. I mean, like, that's the way it should be. To that end, particularly on the education to community, I would like to make a recommendation that the commission be part of that somehow. And maybe for each one, one commissioner could show up, do a 5-minute thing, and just say, we're a resource for you as well. So I don't know if that's can happen with the grant or whatever, but I would like to make that recommendation. And however we have to figure out how to do that is fine. And the last thing is that the grand jury report mentioned the Interfaith Advisory Council of the Sheriff a lot, and you know, of which I'm a part and sit on that executive board with the sheriff. And we have about 60 to 100 people show up at any one event. And this is with respect to religious organizations. And I just think spreading that form that you're talking about creating to all the religious organizations where a lot of people are targeted with the AME church or the Baptist church or the synagogues or the mosques. I mean, we're going to get real data from real people that's going to change the numbers, particularly with respect to incidents. If they have just a QR code that is passed out by their pastors, imam, rabbi, whatever it might be, I just think our information will just really be comprehensive in that way. So again, partnering with the Interfaith Advisory Council on that one particular issue, I think is just an easy set of emails to send out in some way. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, I really want to echo Rabbi Steinberg's comments, but my only thought was is maybe we table the issue of the assistance from Irvine PD for that potential deconfliction. Our goal is to capture as many hate incidents as we can. And I do think that what was described by the district attorney's office is wholly comprehensive. But in the event that people are used to contacting their local police departments and they report it somewhat differently, we should make the effort to have a process to deconflict. And maybe there's a report made to a community group or a report made to another agency, not through the portal and not through the district attorney's office, that we don't inadvertently have a blind spot. And so if we have the resources available to do that type of deconflict, which would be pretty heavy potentially. So I don't wanna, since Chief Kent's not here, I don't wanna put him in a bad spot. But at the same time, I don't wanna, I would like us to table the issue of whether or not we don't need his assistance and his staffing, just to ensure that we're capturing as much of the incidents and data as we can.
And perhaps we can keep the recommendation that the city of Irvine working with the DA's office, and then we kind of think council too, and then we kind of figure out the best path forward, but we have those two options should we need them.
And because the sheriff's department is going to be working in collaboration with the district attorney, and but we have 13 contract cities and the unincorporated areas, and the county is you know, has obviously multiple different municipal cities and different jurisdictions. So I just want to ensure that we don't overlook those municipalities.
So here's what, did you have anything to add? Okay, so what I don't want to do is delay the adoption of the definition of hate incidences, right? Because we've worked hard to get to this point. As I'm looking at the language, it does direct staff to work with the city of Irvine and the district attorney's office. I could say we could add and the Orange County Sheriff's Department if you think that we're otherwise missing jurisdictions that you mentioned are unincorporated, or do you think that that's covered by the district attorney?
I think it's covered by the district attorney.
Okay, I just want it
to be included in there. I'm happy to.
I mean, we, so I've talked with the sheriff's department, and we think the support from Irvine will be great. We
okay.
don't know how we will incorporate that in because we're thinking of a centralized model. Chief Kent happens to be the chief also of OCOPSA right now, or the leader of OCOPSA right now, which is really great. Because once we get through the board meeting on the 26th and we have some clear direction, our hope was to have the district attorney and Sheriff Barnes talk with that group about this centralized model. And I have no doubt that at that point, it will make a lot of sense for Chief Kent to offer whatever specialty resources that he has to assist us, because we've never done a portal like this. So we would be working really together. So it's definitely going to be a partnership with the sheriff's department. Whether you include that language or not is entirely up to you, but I want you to know that in our mind, they are the central kind of model for the central model would be the DA and the sheriff's department, who are departments of the county leading this effort for the county.
Anyone have any other thoughts about that, the language, whether to add the sheriff's or remove Irvine? I'm more inclined to add instead of take away, because Chief Kent's not here. It does sound like they're going to work with the DA anyway. And it sounds like this is a collaborative mm-hmm. endeavor. It does. Okay, so I'll make a motion then to adopt California Department of Justice definition of hate instances for 2025 Orange County Hate Crime Report. Direct staff to work with City of Irvine, District Attorney's Office, and Orange County Sheriff's Department to standardize methodology for collection and reporting of hate incident data, review, including data from 2024, and report progress at November 13, 2025 meeting. Is there a second? I think Mary beat you to it, so we'll let Mary be our second. Commissioner Izzati, and then let's go ahead and take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
And the ayes have it. Thank you very much. I look forward to just continuing to talk about this really exciting development for the reporting of hate incidences in this county. We've made such great progress quickly and in collaboration with our partners at the county. So thank you so much. We'll move on now to information items, items 6 through 10. So number 6 is receive update on 2024 hate crime report.
Chrislyn to speak to that.
Thank you, Chrislyn.
So good news. The plan, as we had talked about before, is to use the hate crime data, which is the data from all jurisdictions in Orange County reported to the Department of Justice, which is a limitation is that it's hate crimes that the police agencies and jurisdictions have determined for that reporting purpose. So there is some consistency in how it's reported, how we can look at trends, you know, throughout the years. Last year, we did have an issue where there were four jurisdictions not fully reporting all of their hate crimes. This year, the good news, the 2024 data, all Orange County jurisdictions have full reporting. So we'll get the actual number reported to the Department of Justice. Report. So we're planning to have that done by the end of the year.
Terrific.
Does anyone have any questions or any comments? I would just like to say thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing what the data will be. And I know that we'll endeavor to see if we can address hate incidences for that year, if it's possible at a future time. Number 7, receive update on 2025 grand jury report, quote, hate, what is Orange County doing about it, end quote.
Okay, thank you. On June 26, 2025, the grand jury released a report as titled, Hate, what is Orange County doing about it? But I wanted to provide a little bit of background on the grand jury report process. Not everyone maybe is familiar. Various parts of my career, I've been responsible for responding to grand jury reports probably for the last 20 years. So, but just to give a little bit of an overview. So our responses are dictated by the penal code. And we are given 90 days to respond on behalf of the county and the Board of Supervisors. And in terms of that, you know, we're given a number of things we're required to findings and recommendations we're required to respond to. So there was a number of them. We were required to respond to findings 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 13, and recommendations 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, and 8. And you'll notice if you had a chance to kind of look through that draft response, is that there are some limitations as to how we're allowed to respond. So the penal code actually dictates the responses that are allowed. So for findings, there's only three options. We can agree with the finding, we can disagree wholly. Sometimes I'll be honest, I have an option where, or that we had that ability to actually kind of check back with the grand jury to see if they, I'll get into that a little bit later, if that, you know, to get some clarification, but in, you know, we're just required to and only allowed to respond based on what's written. And in terms of recommended responses, our options are that it's already been implemented. The recommendation has not been implemented, but will be implemented in the future. The recommendation requires further analysis, and the recommendation will not be implemented because it's not warranted or it's not feasible. And just kind of in general, I think, you know, the grand jury plays an important role in public policy and different issues here in the county. But there are some limitations to their process. Right? So they serve 1-year terms, right? So as we know, I mean, gosh, I've been in county government for about 20 years, and there's still things I learn every day. So I can't imagine, you know, kind of the effort of trying to jump in on some of these really big issues and do that analysis within a pretty quick time frame, right? Within a year. And then also they must release their reports by June 30 when their term ends. And so once they release that report, that grand jury is no longer seated. We actually have a new grand jury that's already seated. And so the challenge for us as staff sometimes is that I wish they served 18-month terms. I wish they were on for a little bit longer so that we could have that dialogue and get some of that clarification on, you know, what exactly did you mean by that? Or, oh, did you know we were working on that? You know, some of those things. So that we could, you know, kind of round out that process. But, you know, I'm forever the optimistic public policy government bureaucrat. So after 20 years, that optimism is not gone, I promise. So you'll see some of that kind of tension, I think, in our responses, right? Because we don't have maybe a good option as to that official response or how we provide that information. And also we draft these responses for the board. So our goal and kind of my charge and that of my team who works on these is that to provide kind of a very concise factual response. And then allowing the board, because they review this and they can make changes if three of them, you know, make a recommendation to change the response, that's, you know, of course, entirely in their discretion. And it also gives them maybe the opportunity to amp it up a little bit if they wish, right? As staff, not really our role, but they can, you know, they can make those modifications to use. And you'll also see, you know, that, you know, there may be, we'll tune in on the 26th, because there may be some discussion on this item. There may be some modifications to some of the recommended actions. We'll see. And then the other part of it too is that I think, as Susie mentioned, not everyone is always a respondent, right? And so there was a lot of discussion about, you know, the district attorney's grant and things like that, but they weren't a respondent, a required respondent on this. So really appreciate the district attorney's office. We look forward to their letter that it's going to kind of help, I think, help round out that response with that information that they're able to provide, because it was also this, it was difficult because, you know, as county staff, we're not in the position to speak on behalf of the district attorney, right? An elected official within the county, that's really not our role either. So we appreciate that. And we've seen those types of things before. We've seen with our members of our board, maybe someone, you know, feel strongly about a particular response. We've seen them do dissenting opinions, basically, for lack of a better, I don't know how else to describe it, but like a dissenting opinion that they, you know, they feel strongly that a response should have been differently and they didn't have the majority vote to make that change. They've also submitted that information just so it helps rounds it out. And the grand jury does post. So they post those that are required to respond. And I believe in the past they have posted those at that additional communication, whether it was a dissenting opinion or things like that, that they'll, can post that as well. And so you have that response. I think a couple of kind of the high level things. I think that, the grand jury looked focusing on the definition of the hate incidents, whereas perhaps I know that was one piece of our discussion here, right? It was not only hate incidents, but that methodology as to how you collect that information, which I think at least in our discussion is equally, if not more important, right, to that discussion. So you saw kind of a narrow focus on that portion. And I mentioned, already mentioned about the district attorney, that they weren't a required respondent. However, as we know, and I look forward to, I will, if the with support from the chair, look to hopefully bring back Susie and Courtney to give a deeper dive into their grant. We heard the amazing things so far, but trust me, there's more. There's a lot more that this grant's going to be doing. And so we look forward to having that kind of more in-depth, deeper dive into that grant at the November meeting. I know we had another couple other bigger items, a couple of these items today. So I wanted to make sure that we'd be able to have enough time in November to have them go through that. So that is our process. So our board will be considering the responses on the 26th. And then based on that, we submit, if they have any changes or anything like that, we incorporate those into the report. And then we submit those responses to the presiding judge. Those who those responses go to, because that grand jury is, they're not here anymore to respond to. And then if the board, the one other caveat just is if the board does kind of leave any of the recommendations like open-ended, like if they fail to implement it later or they want some additional analysis, we are required to close those out by March of the following year. So the way it's written today, if approved as is, it is closed out. There is no need for an additional follow-up. However, if the board does make some modifications to any of those, the responses to those recommendations, we would take that back in March the following year to close out. So they're not leaving those open-ended so the public knows that there's kind of what the status is or what the final action of them.
Any questions or comments?
I thought your responses were great, actually, very simple, to the point, and accurate. I don't know much about grand jury at all, but I was frustrated reading the report because they asked a lot of questions, good, relevant questions, to which there were lots of answers. And they didn't access the answers or the people who might have the answers, as far as I could tell. And so that's a little maddening to put stuff out in the public domain as if it's not happening, leave a blank, and then you have to respond. But I see a lot of shaking heads, meaning this isn't the first time this has happened. So thank you, Jessica, for your hard work on it. And certainly, if the board needs some history or whatever on some of these issues, I would say on behalf of the chair and all of us, feel free to call upon us to respond. We're happy to do that, because I actually think, as we've all said, this is a building year for this commission, and I think the future is very bright in terms of the way we're going to be able to respond, particularly in collaboration with all the other county partners and city partners.
Yes, I agree with you. It's hard to know exactly, when you put something out, like, is it a soundbite for Voice of OC, or is it like, why are the questions asked but not answered? I don't know the answer to that. I did want to share, and I did share this with some of county staff, but I'll share with the commissioners and others that this is my first experience with the grand jury. And, there are criminal grand juries, there are civil grand juries, there are different types of grand juries. My first encounter was with a member of the grand jury coming to my house, knocking on my door, opening my gate, coming behind my gate after hours in my personal residence and knocking on my door. And when I opened the door, that individual asking me if I was willing to appear before the grand jury. And I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't know if it was a criminal grand jury. I didn't know what was going on. It was very unsettling to me as somebody who has been harassed for my religion in this uncertain time that we live in. And so I asked, do you have like a subpoena? You know, what's going on? And that person said, no, it's civil. It's the civil grand jury. And why wouldn't you want to come and talk to the grand jury about hate crimes? And I said, I think you have a process for this, and I don't think it's coming in my house. So why don't you do whatever you need to do with that process? And that person said, we'll send you a letter. So I right away got on the phone and called Supervisor Foley and said, this is really bizarre. And she agreed. And I also sent an email to the foreperson of the grand jury to complain, because I think that really diminished the professionalism and serious, important role that the grand jury serves. Certainly, I know, not knowing any procedures of the grand jury, that that was not a proper procedure of the grand jury. I never got a letter to ask to talk to anybody at the grand jury. I never spoke with anyone from the grand jury. And nothing that any of the commissioners did in their past work was included in the grand jury report. I understand supervisors were interviewed and their statements weren't included in the grand jury reports, like Supervisor Foley. And so I'm disappointed, because a process does exist and is available to report accurate information. And I don't know if that's a result of a structural problem of the year-long terms, where you can sort of drop the report off and your work is done without having to be accountable for the impact of those words. But I suspect that's part of it. I just am grateful for the responses of county staff to correct the inaccuracies. I wish that there was an opportunity for more dialogue, or that we could ensure that the dialogue occurs. I'm not in county government, so I wouldn't know how to make that occur, but it certainly would be meaningful to be able to make sure that the grand jury has the information so it can accurately report to the public, so they know what important work we're doing, and that that gets reported, not just questions like, what are we doing? So I appreciate, despite the constraints of your ability to respond, the accurate responses that were provided. So thank you. All right, moving on to the next item is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
That's usually done by Chief Kent, and he did not reach out to me with an update from that group.
Okay, so we'll skip that item. Then we've got OC Sheriff Department Interfaith Council update.
Yeah, Sheriff continued to just really in a very forward-leaning way, bringing religious groups together and people together of all varying backgrounds. We have a great meeting coming up, I think a week from today, at the AME Church in Irvine, and we're going to be dealing with special needs, people with special needs, children in particular with special needs, from security points of view, but really also just in general, to talk about how religious organizations, in conjunction with law enforcement and others, society, I should say, really deals with people with special needs. So really going to be a great program. If you'd like to come, call Gail at the Orange County Sheriff's Office or me, and I'll put you in touch. Happy to do it.
What was the date?
A week from today. I think it's at 10, from 10 to 12. Check. Nope, it's not. It is, I'm sorry, on Tuesday, the 19th. Thank you for asking. 10 to 12.
Thank you so much. Number 10, county update.
I have no additional updates.
We covered it. Announcements from commissioners. Any announcements? All right, well, that brings us to a close of our meeting. Thank you so much for all that you do. Everyone who's here, I really appreciate you. This will adjourn our meeting. Our next meeting is November 13th, 2025. That's a regular meeting at 11 a.m.